Blog Talk Radio.
Al Porter. Blog Talk Radio, what it is, man.
You're now rocking with the man in the streets who put music, action, and news to the beat. You're now rocking with the man in the streets. Al Porter got the news, Q-T on the beat. Yeah, you're now rocking with the man in the streets who put music, action, and news to the beat. Yeah, you're now rocking with the man in the streets. Al Porter got the news, Q-T on the beat. Reporting live, this is Blog Talk Radio. Of knowledge equal power, my knowledge is what they hating for. Al Porter got it locked for an hour block, and Q-T got the block in the
master lock.
It's Monday night, what you doing round 9? Tune in to Al Porter, Blog Talk going live. These other sessions is job, just leading the walking blind. Remember the revolution ain't gonna be televised. No Google Chrome can search, ain't gonna be no flash drive. Won't last in my lines, I'm opening people minds. Remember it's Monday night, tune in around 9.
Tune in around 9.
You're now rocking with the man in the streets who put music, action, and news to the beat. You're now rocking with the man in the streets. Al Porter got the news, kill stay on the beat. Yeah, you're now rocking with the man in the streets who put music, action, and news to the beat. Yeah, you're now rocking with the man in the streets. Al Porter got the news, kill stay on the beat. You're now rocking with the man in the streets who put music, action, and news to the beat. You're now rocking with the man in the streets. Al Porter got the news, kill stay on the beat. Yeah.
And welcome once again to none other than Al Porter, Man in Street. That's music, activism, and news. That's the abbreviation, that's the acronym. And usually we're on a Monday, unless there is a special occasion. A lot of things going on in our region. I won't take your time out of this. This is a special 90-minute program. I guess might only be around with us for about an hour or so. But as I look at everything, it looks like I have about 6 phone callers on this phone line. I know what I need to do is to shut up, run at my mouth. But like I say, usually I'm on a Monday night. But with this being a Super Bowl Sunday coming up, we know that Brother Art McCoy will not be on the air this coming Sunday. We know that. We know that 11 years of voiceatradio.com will be celebrated next Tuesday instead of this evening. So they're planning on some major things going on next week. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to have a special edition where we get a chance to talk to different people and let them speak what's on their mind. I can tell you right now, I guarantee you, or as The Rock would say, I guarantee you that everybody is going to get a chance to let their voices be heard. Without further ado, I know people didn't call in to talk to me. They didn't. They called in because of the first person I'm going to on the phone line. And I'm just making sure that I get everybody's numbers queued up so I can go to them with no problem. But first, 216-314, do I happen to have none other than the candidate for prosecutor on our phone line?
That's correct. You have Matthew on, the Democratic candidate for prosecutor.
So first of all, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty well. I had a couple of events earlier. I am really excited to be on this show and talk to people about what's happening in our community and what's happening in the criminal justice system.
Well, first of all, you say your name is Matthew Ahn. How do we spell your name to make sure we are at least spelling it the correct way?
That's a great question. My name is spelled A-H-N, but it is pronounced just on, like a light switch.
Got you. And I know a lot of people, my phone lines usually light up, but they don't light up this fast on a Monday. So I know that a lot of people are not calling in to hear me jibber-jabber like I usually would on a Monday. So they want to know more from you. Before I get to them, I just want to ask you a couple of questions, if I can, and get those out of the way so we can hear from some of those people. You're not afraid to take phone calls, are you?
Oh, not at all. Any elected official should be able to answer tough questions.
Got you. And with that being said, I'm going to ask you, why you, why now, why did you go for that position?
Look, I'm just fed up with the outcomes that we're seeing out of the criminal justice system here in Cuyahoga County. Cuyahoga County leads Ohio in children tried as adults, leads Ohio in confirmed wrongful convictions. It leads the entire United States in death sentences over the last 5 years. That's unacceptable. We can do better, and we need a change. We need somebody who's actually looking at the data and the research about how to make our communities safer. And that's what I've been doing over my whole career. I've been a public defender, and now I am a professor at Cleveland State's Law School. And I think that we need a complete overhaul of how the prosecutor's office operates to actually use that data and the research about how to make our community safer.
You know, I'm going to ask you just two more questions. Question number one is, how important is data and research?
Extremely important. If you don't actually have data, you're not looking at data, then you can't actually say, you know, how well or how poorly someone's doing, or whether, you know, policy A or policy B is actually going to prevent crime and reduce crime. And so, you know, you need somebody who's used to looking at those numbers and who understands how to use that data well. Otherwise, you're at risk of running yourself in the same circles, doing the same things and expecting a different result. And, you know, as my mother told me, that is the definition of insanity.
It really is. As I'm going to ask you a hardball question before going to our phone callers. And the hardball question is, there are people who go in and come out and say, some of which, hey, where has he been? How come I never heard of him? He's just coming out now. You say what?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I've been involved with a lot of really grassroots efforts over the last few years, but primarily what I've been trying to help folks out with is understanding the structure of government and where to really put pressure on folks like elected officials to try to get things done. So that's sort of the support work that I've been trying to do, for example, with the Cuyahoga County Jail Coalition, when county government was talking about putting a jail on a site with benzene and with other toxic chemicals. And, you know, back in 2022, we were able to actually get that proposal withdrawn. That's the kind of work that I've been trying to do, because I know that the folks who are out in the streets and out doing community advocacy, those are the folks whose voices we need to uplift, right? It's not about me. It's about what we can do. And so that's the approach that I've used for my career and trying to make sure that what we're doing is actually going to move the ball forward, actually be meaningful, actually lead to change.
You know something? I can appreciate it. Look, everybody on the phone line, I have about four or five more questions I'd love to ask, but it isn't about me. It's about the fact that we have Matthew on, who right now says he is not afraid. He ain't scared. He ain't scared to answer questions. So I'm going to the 216-315 phone number, your first of five so far, 216-315. You are on. You have what to say this evening?
I would like to say that we're on the phone. This is a cowboydamusingman.com and pulsepoint.net. We're calling in to inform you as to what we do very quickly. Cowboy's a DJ, so if you should have some time to contact us and we can maybe help you promote yourself some kind of way, if it's any way at all possible, you can get our contact information from Mr. Porter. But my question to you would be, What are you going to do to help our community?
And that's the fundamental question. Thank you for that question. And I think that it's really important to think a little bit bigger about how the prosecutor's office works. Because for the last, decades, we've seen a prosecutor's office that is geared toward reacting to crime. But we don't actually sort of make our community safer until the prosecutor's office is geared toward preventing crime. And that's the kind of thing that is really important for a community, that can actually make communities safer and stronger, rather than simply trapping ourselves in a cycle that just leads to more incarceration, more violence, and more trauma. And, you know, I've got a lot of different ideas as to how we can do that. Part of it is going to be through programs in the community. Part of that is going to be, you know, me being accessible and responsive to folks. Part of that is going to be using that data and evidence to really target who we go after. But the end goal really should be, how do we make our communities stronger, and how do we prevent the crime that is making our communities less stable and weaker? And that is really what the end goal is, working within the criminal justice system and to trying to keep us safe.
Thank you for that. And I hope that satisfies you and Brother Cowboy this evening.
Yes, Cowboy's here. I'm sure he would like to say something. One moment.
Okay. Hi, I'm Cowboy, your music man. Okay, I have a question, but you're an attorney. Okay, then there's all types of attorney. Now, which type of attorney are you to help a person out of a jam, or is it a big jam, or is it a federal or felony or what?
So I've had a lot of different experiences over my practice career. Most of the time that I've spent as an attorney, I have been a public defender, first in state courts, most recently in federal courts here in Ohio. I've also represented parents of special education children whose children are being denied accommodations by their school districts. So I've done mostly criminal work. I've done a little bit of civil work. I have a pretty wide range of experience. I've also worked for a couple of judges. And all of those different experiences, what they have helped me understand is, you know, what the consequences are for, say, one decision made by one prosecutor, right? That decision has lots of consequences for a community, sometimes for years. And we have to make sure that the prosecutor's office understands that when they're making those kinds of decisions. And again, hopefully that will lead to fewer crimes in the first place, fewer victims, and stronger communities.
Thank you both for asking your questions. We appreciate you both.
Thank you for letting us ask our questions. Brother Al, we'll be talking with you later then.
No problem. Peace.
See you again, Mr. Matthew. Maybe one day I'll be needing an attorney.
Well, and hopefully, maybe what this means is you all won't have to be in front of him for anything. You have to have the right person representing you. I'm going to the 310 area code with the 663. 310 with the 663. How are you doing out there? And please.
That's Southern California.
Who are you? Yes, indeed. What's going on this evening?
Hey, what's going on, guys? My name is Alan Howard, and I am calling from Cleveland with a California number. I've been in both states for many of years. And now what I want to know, first of all, thanks for picking my number to have something to say. I have seen Matthew on Speak, and he did seem sincere of what he was talking about. And I'm glad to be a part of this conversation. And it was a question I didn't get to ask last time because he was flooded with questions. Finally, I get to ask your opinion once elected. I heard you speaking about the steps to prevent crimes before they even come into the county jail. What are some of those steps that you plan to take to help prevent crimes before they're even committed?
And that's a great question. I think one of the things we're seeing right now in Cleveland and in Cuyahoga County in particular is a spike in serious juvenile crime. And this spike, I think, is caused in part by the way the prosecutor's office is currently structured. We have a juvenile unit in the prosecutor's office where the vast majority of the attorneys have less than 1 year of experience in the office. In other words, there's very little expertise about how the juvenile mind works, how juvenile crime works, and how to prevent it. And this is one thing that I would want to start on immediately upon taking office, is a restructuring of the juvenile unit to what we know actually prevents that serious juvenile crime. And that is early intervention for the youngest children that come in front of the juvenile unit. Right? The serious juvenile crime we're seeing, things like, you know, kids stealing 50 cars or kids, you know, carrying guns and shooting at people. These are not things that, you know, kids don't go from zero to that. And oftentimes what we're seeing is that these are kids with lots and lots of prior juvenile cases. And so my question is, why haven't we been successful in redirecting that child with this many possible opportunities? And that's one thing that a juvenile unit that's actually equipped to ask the correct questions at the at case number one rather than at case number 15, that is the way that you can prevent some of the serious juvenile crime that's happening. That's just one example, and that's, of course, particularly related to the juvenile unit. I could sort of ramble on about some of the strategies that I would have in adult court, including making sure that we're actually enforcing against what I would call crimes of power. Right? Generally, the criminal justice system over-enforces against what I'll call crimes of desperation. Right? Somebody is stealing to support a drug addiction or something like that, while they're under-enforcing against crimes of power, things like domestic violence or sex crimes or wage theft or things like that. And with those kinds of crimes, if you see greater enforcement, that in and of itself is the best way to deter that crime from happening in the future.
Okay. Now, one more thing. Ohio is now a state with the right to carry. Now, for those who are still incarcerated for, say, carrying concealed weapons, is there anything, how do you feel about that, that people are still, and you got ex-felons who's, if they get caught today carrying, they can still go to jail. However, the free civilians or civilians that hasn't been charged with CCW, just say before, they have the right to carry. Is there anything upcoming that will maybe expunge people that already had a CCW in the past, or is there any hope for the guys or females who's now incarcerated with a CCW that we are a state legal and licensed to carry now?
That's a great question.
Is there any hope for that?
So I'm not aware of anything coming down the pipe in terms of sort of expanded expungements or things like that. I mean, my position is that, you know, what we're seeing in terms of guns in our communities is sort of it's a symptom of a broader issue of folks not feeling safe. And that is something where, you know, I want to make sure that guns are not in the hands of folks who are, not going to sort of treat them properly, right? And I think we're seeing a lot of that right now.
Correct.
At the same time, what is the appropriate sort of in a state, right, where the gun laws are what they are in Ohio, what is the appropriate sentence, right, for somebody who, you know, may have just gotten out of prison, has very few options in terms of where to live, and does not feel safe within their neighborhood? Does that person deserve to go to prison for several years? And that's sort of the tricky thing here. And the way, I think, to thread that needle is, you know, to make sure that we're creative in terms of our sentences on the back end, to make sure that people have reentry supports, to put them in a place where hopefully these kinds of things become unnecessary. Now, there's a lot of different, you know, that's not something I can wave a magic wand and make happen. But
exactly,
this is something where the prosecutor does have some power to exercise what I call the soft power of the office. They can get other folks in the criminal justice system together to help sort of solve these underlying problems, to hopefully not create another generation of folks who are kept down because of the way the system is structured.
Thank
okay.
you.
Now, what's
your... No, go ahead.
Can
I have one other thing?
Can I? What? Yeah, same question. I'm still on the gun laws. What's your personal
okay.
opinion? Do you feel that those who were past convicted for a CCW, now with Ohio being a carry state, do you feel that there should be something to expunge those and let the people be able to carry again, since now it's legal to carry? Our past and the people that have been charged with this is the past. It's a fresh start. It's rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. Should they be able to carry again? Your personal opinion.
That's a great question. I am I'm generally in favor of expanding expungement as a general matter. I think I would want to be kind of careful just in terms of if we're talking about CCW only, right? That is
yes,
very
just
different
CCW, yeah.
than
Not
somebody
crime,
right, who
yeah.
is absolutely, of course. And so, you know, I do sort of believe that that the gun laws in Ohio, I think, are a little bit more lax than they should be. But given sort of the state of the law right now in Ohio, I would be amenable to that, certainly.
Okay, great. This one
that answers your question.
Yes, that answers my question.
Hey,
let me just add something here, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I just want to say that this is something where we do actually have some of that data and that research, right? We know that gun ownership is something that is pretty consistent across racial groups, but convictions for gun possession and things that are sort of similar to gun possession, right? These are crimes that disproportionately affect Black men in particular. And
yes.
when that kind of disparity exists, I think we have to think very hard about how do we actually get to a place where that disparity isn't happening. And, you know, again, these are big questions. But this is something that I think that, again, we need to look at those underlying issues first and then move along from there.
Okay. Well, that's good. Thank you. I do appreciate you answering that honestly.
I appreciate
yeah, because I
you
do I do
questions.
Believe that you get it. Yeah, I do believe that they're supposed to get a second chance if it was CCW only and not involved in another crime, and now it's legal to carry. It should definitely be able to be expungement or a new law or something for us having a right to carry to protect ourselves again. At least those that with not a crime committed with the actual carry. So thanks, and good luck with your campaign. And Al,
Yes,
thanks
sir.
For having the show. Thanks for having me on here with the questions, and good luck to both of you, and appreciate everything today.
Likewise. Thank you. Enjoy your evening and the week. That was such profound questions that needed to be asked. Matthew, are you still fired up and ready to go for the rest of the phone callers?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I also thought that that was a phenomenal set of questions. And I think these are really, right, when I talk about policy and data, this is it, exactly.
I hear you on that. And we're going to go to, okay, this is a nice one. It's a 740 area code with a 706. 740 area code with a 706. You're on live with Al Porter, Man in the Streets, and Matthew Ahn, candidate for prosecutor. How are you doing out there?
Well, good evening, good evening. I'm doing well. This is December Rose on the line here, and I am happy to be a part of the conversation tonight. Thank you so much. I had the pleasure and opportunity to meet you, sir, Matthew, on this past Saturday at the Hip Hop Workshop at CSU. And I have to say I was very impressed. You are definitely a relatable person who understands the different issues. You're welcome. Very personable and I believe genuine and with the desire to make change and in a good way. So I think the previous callers have touched on pretty much what I had in mind that you may have answered, but I'll throw it out here. Maybe it has a slight twist to it. So as prosecutor, what do you plan to do differently as far as the criminal justice system?
Oh, wow.
Mm. There, how many hours do you have?
I have some time.
There are a number of sort of high priorities for me. One of them, as I mentioned already, is restructuring the juvenile unit. I'd also like to change the approach that we have to pretrial detention, because right now we're using a cash bail system that has very little to do with public safety. There are dozens of folks who are in our Cuyahoga County Jail right now because they cannot afford a relatively low bail amount, some of them as low as a few hundred dollars. And that, it truly makes no sense that they're there, while at the same time, people who are charged with very serious crimes are also still given a bail amount and an opportunity to pay their way out of jail while they're awaiting trial. What we should have and what we can do and what I intend to do is to change the approach to one that is based on public safety. Either you're a threat to the community and therefore you should be in the county jail, or you're not and you shouldn't be. You should be released with whatever conditions are necessary to ensure community safety. In addition to that, I would like to restore the conviction integrity unit, which I can explain sort of quickly here. So many prosecutors' offices have a conviction integrity unit, which is meant to review wrongful conviction claims. And we know we've seen some wrongful convictions here in Cuyahoga County over the years. But in November of 2022, the external members of our conviction integrity unit, they all resigned at once. And these were, you know, respected members of the community, lawyers, judges, faith leaders, so on and so forth. And they resigned because they said, hey, we're not being given any cases to review. And on the occasion that sometimes something is given to us, it's very clear that the prosecutor's office has made up their mind about how they're going to treat this wrongful conviction claim. And this is I think, a part of a pattern of this prosecutor's office not taking wrongful conviction claims seriously. And given the history that we have in Cuyahoga County, that makes no sense. And so I would want to restore that unit, because after those folks resigned in November of 2022, nobody was appointed to replace them. It's been almost a year and a half, and there are still no external members of that unit. So I want to actually make sure we're taking wrongful conviction claims seriously, and that if folks have a good claim, that we're letting them out of prison and we're not taking them back to trial on their old charges, which is another thing that the prosecutor's office has been doing relatively frequently over the past several years. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but It's truly like, oh, you're getting out of prison? Oh, we're going to have another trial, even though you found new evidence of your innocence. And it's a waste of everybody's time. It's a waste of public resources. These are just some of the things that I think can happen fairly quickly once I get into office.
I hope that helps.
Thank you. Yes, it absolutely did. Thank you so much. And what you said definitely makes sense. It really makes sense of a nonsense situation and system. Yeah. So
and again, thank you for asking your question. And because of what you said, at least going back to the past Saturday, the hip-hop workshop where you met Matthew on, you did make an announcement at that workshop in about a minute and a half. Can you tell us what's going on this coming Friday?
Absolutely, Al. This coming Friday, that's going to be February 9th from 7 to 10 p.m., we're having an event. It's called An Evening with DR and Friends. So basically, I will be hosting as well as performing at a chill network type scenario with poetry, soul food, and more. It's going to be at Glenoy's Family Restaurant, 3532 West 41st Street. That's 3532 West 41st Street, Friday, February 9th, 7 to 10. This is a wonderful time. There will be some phenomenal artists who are part of the program, as well as community folks. We have Dr. Pamelia Tyree from Women of Destiny, Greg Bam Reeves, Mr. Powers, Courtney Hauser, Suave Gotti, just to name a few. And so it will be awesome. If you're in the neighborhood, Matthew, stop me.
Excellent. I will do my best to. And I've been to Flannoy's before. It's a great spot.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
And thank you both for this opportunity and time. Appreciate it.
No problem. Enjoy your evening. And I'm
thank
going
you.
To. You're more than welcome. And as a matter of fact, let's keep this rolling as we have a 216-255-215-255. You're on live. How are you?
Well, Al, you know how I am. I'm all for Matthew. I've met him on several different occasions. I'm working with his young lady, Miss Ellen Corbett. I'm Johnny G. I'm with the 100 Million and One Restless Souls, Inc., and I'm that one restless soul. I say it's a pleasure having an individual with the intellect and the intelligence that Matthew has come on and spoke with. He has covered so many things that I wanted to talk to him about. So I'm just going to touch bases on a few things that I want to see how he's going to handle this. The guns that are coming into our neighborhood, there's no way that a 14-year-old can purchase a $400 handgun. There's no way that a 14-year-old can purchase a $1,115 assault rifle. I want Matthew to explain to me why hasn't the police department, why hasn't the folks that know what's going on out there in the streets done anything about that? That's the first question I want to ask Matthew.
That's a great question. I certainly think that the what the prosecutor's office's role in that has been has been sort of out of whack, because what we're seeing is we're just seeing charges against the 14-year-old with the gun. But again, I think I'm asking the same question that you're asking. How did this gun get in this child's hands in the first place? Why aren't we going after the folks that are supplying these guns to these kids? If it is a situation where they're able to sort of get an unsecured gun, right, let's take a look at that situation and not just throw the book at a child straight up. And that's sort of, I think, again, going back to this point of not just reacting to the thing that's happening, but trying to prevent it from happening in the first place, right? If we can actually identify how guns are getting into the communities in less than sort of legal manner, then that will prevent not only, you know, all sorts of dangerous situations where children have guns, but potentially also other violent crimes that might happen.
I hope that answered your question.
That was an excellent summation of what I was looking for. Secondly, the bound over situations down there on 93rd and Quincy with our babies, and you talk data. I know you have got the data on the kids being bound over, outrageously bound over, and normally it's our black kids that's being bound over. What are you going to do about that ratio?
Definitely, and this is one of the central parts of my campaign. Right now, Cuyahoga County trying almost as many children as adults, and so that's what a bind over is, trying a child in adult court. Cuyahoga County is trying nearly as many children as adults as the rest of Ohio combined, and 92% of those children are black. And we know, the data tells us, that a child who is sent over into adult court and then to adult prison is 34% more likely to commit another crime when they're released. And so if we're going to really think about trying children as adults, we should not be doing it unless we are absolutely certain that it is necessary. And the thing is, we've got all sorts of tools in the juvenile court that aren't being used right now that would, I think, demonstrate that there are other things that we can do. I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but one of those things is what's called a serious youthful offender sentence. When we're talking about some of these more serious juvenile crimes, even if you keep a case in juvenile court, a juvenile judge can issue both a juvenile sentence and an adult sentence. And if the child serves the juvenile sentence without any problem and rehabilitates, then they don't have to serve the adult sentence. It's basically one extra chance for the child to put their life together and do well without any risk to public safety. And the fact that we're going straight to a bind over rather than using this mechanism doesn't make any sense. We can do better.
Great question.
How are we going to start holding the police department accountable for some of the ignorance that's going on out here in the street and their lack of understanding when they go out there and how to deal with people? They create more problems with their ugly attitudes than the situation itself.
Absolutely. And this is part of the reason why I intend to create a separate public integrity unit within the prosecutor's office. And that would cover, you know, abuses of power included by elected officials, but also
wow.
any police misconduct that might happen. And this is something where we could sort of keep those investigations a little bit walled off from the rest of the prosecutor's office. But it is something, right? You know, it is a difficult job to be a police officer, but it comes with a lot of responsibility. And if one of the things I think we don't really talk about are the sort of small ways in which police officers sometimes fail to meet that responsibility. And one of the other ways that we can think about this is in some of these criminal cases, right, if that is a factor, if there has been some conduct by a police officer that sort of escalated a situation and that information comes to light during a case, then we should be thinking about that case differently as prosecutors than perhaps when we originally charged it. We need to understand that when information or data like this comes to light, that we change our approach, that we don't simply say, oh, we're going to trial on this case anyway. We need to think about it a little bit differently than that.
One more question. All right. What do you think about – oh, excuse me, cutting you off. Go ahead and finish.
No, I was getting ready to say before I go to the other phone callers, go ahead and finish your last question.
My last question is, why don't we have a curfew for these youngsters that's out after 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, causing and creating these ugly situations?
And this is a sort of tricky one, because I believe at least in the city of Cleveland, there is a curfew ordinance that is on the books. Now, of course, something being on the books and something being enforced are two slightly different things. I know that I've heard reports from police officers, from folks in the community, that when curfew sweeps are happening, kids will pull out a piece of paper saying, oh, I'm emancipated, you can't send me home, things like that. First of all, my understanding, at least, of how the law works in this area is that that's not actually, right, that piece of paper doesn't actually have any weight. But it is something that I think a lot of these kids have understood to be kind of a, well, I can get out of the curfew card. And so I think it's more than just having the ordinance on the books. It is trying to figure out a way to actually meaningfully enforce it. Part of that, of course, I think, is sort of incumbent on agencies such as Child and Family Services to really give parents the tools to parent their children well. And, of course, right now, the Child and Family Services Department is not really equipped to do that. And oftentimes what we're seeing instead is just, oh, well, we're going to remove this child from the home, rather than trying to actually give the parent supports. Of course, the lawyers for the Child and Family Services caseworkers, those are also people in the prosecutor's office. So this is another way in which the policy of the prosecutor's office may affect sort of what we are seeing in terms of how, family units are structured, how children are or are not getting support at a formative age, and what might be leading to children committing crime and eventually serious crime. And so there's a lot that is connected not only to the juvenile courts, but also to Child and Family Services.
Well, with that said, Matthew, I want to say that $100 million in one, Rest Your Souls, Inc., and Johnny G. is solely behind making sure that guy, Mike O'Malley, do not make a return visit to the prosecutor's office. And I say to you, Matthew, you got to get out and walk the streets and get personally close up and close to the public out there. Let them know that you have to be more visible. And I want to say, live each day to the fullest. Get the most out of each and every day. Dare to be different, to follow your own stars. Believe that those you love love you. Then you can look forward with confidence and back without regret. Remember, it ain't what you're doing when you're doing, but it's what you look like you're doing when you're doing what you're doing. And Teddy Pendergrass said it so beautifully, Matthew. A love affair. And you got to have a love affair with our city. You got to have a love affair. A love affair is not 70-30, not 60-40, not 50-50. Matthew, if your love affair with the city is not 100, then you're going to be where you at trying to get there. So make sure that your love affair with the city is 100. Al, this is Johnny G, and there's only two in the world like me, and I'm both of them. Run, tell that, Cleveland.
Thank you.
Thank you,
much.
Johnny G. That's excellent advice.
It is.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it. I do. Matthew Ahn appreciates it. Oh, we're coming down to our other phone callers right here. I'm going straight to 216-773. 216-773. How are you doing out there?
I'm doing well, Al. This is Dolores Gray. Happy to see here that you're on the air with Mr. Ahn, who is awesome. And I'm just happy that you are able to get people on to listen to what Mr. Ahn is speaking on. And I truly believe in him. I will say what I like about him when Johnny G just mentioned that he needs to be visible. I know that he was visible for me in 2022 when he was out there walking Ward 7 and making sure people had information. You know, when I was the organizer there, he was making sure people had information on all the candidates and passing out information. And that was my first time ever meeting you, Matthew. And I said I thought it was an excellent thing that you were doing when you responded to my my call for volunteers to help me out. So thank you again for that. So I do have two questions. One of my questions is dealing with the Brady Doctrine. So I want to know, how would you, as our county prosecutor, how would you ensure that that Brady Doctrine was followed by all in each case?
Definitely. I mean, Brady is very important. And just to give a little bit of explanation, what the Brady Doctrine is prosecutors are required to hand over any evidence might help to prove a defendant's innocence. And this is something that they are required to do, and even if they violate that requirement by accident, it's still a Brady violation because the Constitution and the laws of this country think it is very, very important for somebody accused of a crime to have all of the evidence that's out there that's helpful to them. And so it's extremely important and one of the reasons that Cuyahoga County has so many wrongful convictions is because the old practice of the prosecutor's office was not set up in a way to comply with Brady meaningfully. And so this is really important because we want to make sure that the convictions that come out of the prosecutor's office are solid, that they're not potentially wrongful convictions, that they're not convictions that we've gotten through unconstitutional means. And so what that comes down to first and foremost is training, culture of training and of sort of practice excellence that doesn't currently exist in the prosecutor's office. These are there are some basic things just in terms of trial practice and trial strategy that the prosecutor's office is not really drilling with its new attorneys, which is a real problem because there are a lot more new attorneys in the prosecutor's office right now than there typically are. Turnover is very high in the prosecutor's office. And so when you have all of these attorneys with not very much experience and you're not giving them the training and the tools that they need, you're going to end up with more Brady violations. And that's a real problem. And so I think it really comes down to we need to make sure that we emphasize training and good practice in the office. And, you know, that comes both top down and bottom up, right? We want to ensure and incentivize folks to really care about this training because what it does is it means that the convictions that we do get are convictions that are strong. They're ones that actually serve justice rather than convictions that make us lose faith in the system.
Okay. So basically just, you know, following this doctrine, the Brady Doctrine, will eliminate lawsuits in our city, you know, and that creates due to unjustifiable prosecutions and things of that sort, subsequent incarceration. So that will really eliminate all of that, correct?
It will be a huge part of that, yes, especially given the history of Brady violations in this county.
Okay, and my next question is dealing with grassroots leaders, community leaders. Now, Mr. O'Malley, when he got into office, he got into office basically by a lot of grassroots organizers, grassroots leaders, community leaders that are in, you know, in our community because we really believed in him. And that's how he got in. So we trusted that, and he basically, you know, just changed. So I'm totally against the status quo, as I've spoken to you before about it. I'm very much against it. But what I want to know, as a community leader and a grassroots organizer, as a person who is, you know, who leads an organization, a couple of organizations, I want to know, how would you plan on working with the activists, advocates, and, you know, grassroots organizers who are really out here in the community doing a lot of this, the criminal justice work. And how would you, I know it's kind of like a fine line, but how would you be able, how would you work with us? Because you would have to really keep us engaged because of, you know, we're very much in the field actually working on these types of problems.
Absolutely. And making lasting change in the criminal justice system, there's no one person who can do it by themselves. It really, truly will take all of us. And recognition of that, at least in my platform, comes in the form of making sure that I'm actually accessible to folks, making sure that, you know, there is a regular series of public meetings that I'm going to, and not just police district meetings, which are important, but not everybody feels safe in those spaces. It's making sure that, you know, community organizations that are doing this work, again, on the ground, they're being they have an open dialogue with me as prosecutor, and that if there is anything that I can do in my role to support those organizations, that I'm actually doing it, much in the same way that I was trying to support grassroots organizations in my prior activism, as I talked about before. In addition to all of this, right, I know that if I try to implement some of these ambitious plans and there aren't folks who are standing by me or there aren't folks who are putting pressure on me to actually sort of live up to my promises, one of two things is going to happen. Either I'm going to back down and not actually put what I said I was going to, or I'm going to do it alone by myself, and it's going to have a chance of failure. The only way that we can actually make this change stick is if we do it together. And that has to be the approach. And the only way that I can do that is to live that. And so that is how I'm thinking about this. And my experience with advocacy and with activism in Cleveland is what keeps me focused on that.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Al, I also want to let you and as well as Matthew know, but I did talk to Ellen, Matthew, that we have a forum, a community forum coming up on the 19th of this month at Mount Sinai Church, and that will start at 6 o'clock. Excuse me. It is sponsored by the Divine Nine, as well as the NAACP, and also sponsoring is a number of other organizations, as well as the National Congress of Black Women, and we will all be there to help out with this. So Matthew, he is definitely invited to be there, as well as all of the other candidates, and
okay.
I would like to see everyone come out to hear what Matthew has to say. I think it's very important that we really, get together to make sure, to be quite honest, that we get him in office. I'm sorry, that's just bottom line, because we have to get rid of the status quo and make sure that that we get some, get some things in place to change in our community, because it's very, very important that we need to thrive instead of just trying to survive and get our youth together as well. So thank you again, Matthew. I really appreciate what you're doing. And, I'm out here for you 100%.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And I do just want to note, I was reminded that on this very topic of Brady violations and wrongful convictions related to those violations, we've actually started a video series, which you can find on our Instagram and our TikTok and our YouTube page, where we're doing about 8 to 10 minute videos on individual criminal justice issues, because some of them are, the one that's on Brady violations is coming out next week.
Oh, great, great. Well, I do have another, now since you mentioned that, I have a small question or comment you may already be doing this. With you using the social media such as TikTok and Instagram, have you connected with like the school system? So all of your educational tools that you're putting out there to get to the students as well, that are in the process of graduating, things like that, so it could get to their parents, so everybody would know to be educated on this, because I really I love the fact that you are an educator and you are explaining how everything is working and how it should work and what's not working. So I just wanted to find out just that quick, quick question. Are you looking to, or have you been getting into with the school system with some of the young people who are just graduating or have graduated it's because they are new voters. They could be new voters as well.
Sure. Well, our outreach to particularly to CMSD not necessarily been through social media, but I can say that we actually have a debate planned at the end of February, I believe on the 28th, that's actually going to be hosted and moderated by CMSD high school students, which I think is going to really, I think it's going to be a really great event. We're hoping to ensure that anybody who is 18 by this November can also vote in the prosecutor's race in March, even if they're still 17 in March. And so we're hoping to get folks registered. We are hoping to really increase even just awareness of this race through that event because, this is not a race that Cuyahoga County has had a lot of practice even thinking about. We've only had two meaningfully contested prosecutors' elections in the last 70 years. And so, a lot of the work here is truly even just letting folks know, hey, we vote on our county prosecutor. Here's some of the stuff that they're tasked with doing. Think about this choice.
Okay. And that's going to be at Collinwood High School?
Yes, Collinwood High School, February 28th, I was correct, yes.
Yes. Okay, well, thank you so much, Matthew, and thank you, Al, for doing this.
No problem. We thank you for taking part. And Matthew, since you've survived so far, The last phone call I'm going to hit you with is 216-972. 216-972. How are you doing?
I'm good. Well, no, I'm not good. I don't know why I said that. I don't even know where to begin, but, I mean, for the prosecutor, I heard you speaking about people getting charged and being falsely accused. What about these young, you know, young teenagers getting took advantage of by grown men and the detective not turning over none of the evidence to the prosecutor? Because I'm in this situation right now, and a lot of people are very upset with my decision to expose my situation, but I'm not exposing my truth. I'm letting people know what's going on in the community, and nothing is being done. They're trying to normalize grown men having sex with minors.
Well,
so moving
forward,
what can you do to help change this?
Right. And, you know, I spoke earlier in the program about sort of the difference between crimes of power and crimes of desperation. And it sounds like what you're describing really is somebody taking advantage of an unbalanced power dynamic. And that's something that absolutely needs to be a greater enforcement priority, right? And if that's, you know, that's something that as the prosecutor, right, that's something that we would want to have a direct conversation with, you know, police leadership about. It's like, hey, if this is the situation that's happening, these are the kinds of, you know, enforcement priorities we have. We don't want to try to criminalize somebody who is actually a victim in a situation, right? Far too often that's what we see. And that just leads to further injustice. We need to actually, again, go after the person who is taking advantage of that power imbalance rather than somebody who really is being taken advantage of. You know, I can't speak to specific cases just because of the ethics rules, but that at least sounds like something that would merit further conversations about investigation priorities and about the kinds of cases that the prosecutor's office is even charging in the first place.
Okay, so do you know why the sex crime detective, Mr. Williams, do you know why he told me that none of my information was creditable, why none of my evidence would stand a chance in court and that they would throw it out because I'm way too invested into getting this man behind bars? Do you know why they would tell me that?
You know, again, I can't really speak on specific cases. I would be happy to certainly look into this, you know, when I am in the prosecutor's office, but I couldn't speak to that particular situation. That's a conversation that I would be willing to have then, though.
Okay. Well, I guess that's really everything I have to ask. I'm trying to get justice for my child. And, I mean, if you can put your, I guess best foot forward to try to get some justice, maybe that'll get you closer to winning. Because it's a lot of mothers out here who are in my situation. And in order for things to change, we all got to come together and stand up for each other.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, thank you for
answering me.
Of course.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And we thank you for calling in. It's a lot to think about and take in. And we do appreciate your phone call. And we definitely are looking for justice in your case and many others. So thank you.
Yes.
And as you hold the line, I have to ask you, how do you feel your role, Matthew, in what you've done all of these years. How do you feel that that led into you even being a professor at Cleveland State University?
Ooh. That's, you know, I hadn't thought about it from that angle before, but I do think that, you know, my the way that I sort of try to teach in the classroom does come directly from my practice experience. It comes from my experience advocating for the parents of special education children, or advocating for folks who may be incarcerated and are trying to get released, and really trying to make sure that not only do you need to know what the law is, you need to sort of understand how these systems are set up, whether they are set up really for justice or whether they're not. And I think that that experience really has helped me sort of give some depth to the things that that I talk about in the classroom, and lends me the ability to sort of speak more frankly about not just those experiences, but also about law school and about what law practice might look like for my students after they get out of law school. You know, I think that my students have appreciated me being candid about these sorts of things. Sometimes these issues, as we've heard, are very harrowing and very personal. But I think that that the students have appreciated that. I think, you know, that is part of the reason why the students did vote me Faculty Member of the Year at the law school last year, because, you know, I'm not trying to sort of hide the ball. I'm not trying to sort of make law practice out to be something that it's not. Because these are people's lives that we're talking about. And we can't lose sight of that. I think it's easy to lose sight of that in law school, but it's important that we don't.
I hear you on that, and I appreciate it. Some may feel that I held you on the phone lines for a little bit too long, but I want to say that I thank you very much for at least being brave and bold enough to take the phone calls and to answer the questions. I have to ask you one other thing before we leave out of here. When does early voting start and all of that?
Oh, absolutely. So you can register to vote for the March 19th election until February 20th. February 21st, the next day, is the first day of early voting. Early voting now runs until March 17th. That's the Sunday before Election Day. There is no early voting the Monday before Election Day. Election Day is March 19th. If you're voting by mail, you will need to get your mail ballot postmarked by March 18th, the day before Election Day.
Gotcha.
And I hope that folks will, I really appreciate the in-depth nature of the questions that people have asked. I'm really looking forward to making some of this really important and really in-depth change in the prosecutor's office, because I think we've been waiting for it for quite some time.
I hear you. And I know for a fact that Black Lives Matter Cuyahoga County, which has openly endorsed you, I know that they are having a forum for you this coming Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, this coming Sunday, February the 11th, 1 to 3 p.m. at 15415 Kipling Avenue, 44110. And also, for those people who didn't know the history of this program, I could speak on the history, and I'm so glad that Dolores Gray brought up what she did earlier, because back in the day, I didn't want to call O'Malley's name for any reason, but I wanted to say that when he did run, he outlined streets paved with gold on how he was going to change the whole system. And the one thing that I know is that once he got in there, he didn't do any of what he claimed he would do. And I can see that there was a reason why he didn't. It was because he was not out there in the community doing any type of, I'll say, social justice help or anything like that that I've seen come from you, Matthew. He didn't explain how his platform and what his platform was and how he planned on changing certain aspects once he would become elected. With those things being said, I just wanted to throw out there that there's a big fundamental difference, because the Michael O'Malley did not go different places and answer tough questions. With that being said, it's beyond a shadow of a doubt that the program, the staff members behind Al Porter, Man in the Streets, Music, Activism, and News, you've reached out to everyone, Matthew. You have reached out to everybody across those different dynamics, different generations, and to different sides of the city, and your message has been throughout the county, no matter what township. It's been very consistent. And with that being said, you definitely earned our endorsement. We feel that you are the most logical representative of what we need when it comes to change. So with that being said, I am going to ask you point blank to let us know how people can look you up, promote you, be a part of your campaign.
Absolutely. I would encourage everybody to go to my website. That's matthew-on.com. Once again, Matthew, MATTHEW-AHN.com. You can also find me at Matthew On for Prosecutor on Instagram, on Facebook. There's also other social media links on my website. If folks want to sign up to volunteer or they want a yard sign, there is a form on my website. And a lot of the sort of policy issues that we've talked through here, I have those outlined on the website and in those videos that I mentioned as well, which are on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok.
We appreciate the conversation. May you have an excellent evening. And thanks once again. And again, can you please spell your last name so everybody makes sure they got that right?
Absolutely. It's Matthew On, and that's last name is spelled A-H-N.
Appreciate you. Thanks for the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me and for such great questions.
No problem. Enjoy your evening. And
all right, you as well.
No problem. And what I'm going to make the attempt to do, usually, you know, the Monday night program, everybody, is just 1 hour. And we knew that if we had spent just 1 hour, people would not have gotten a full chance to express themselves. So we did a little bit of overtime. What I'm going to make the chance to do is, since I have a lot of different people on the phone line and I got a chance to have one of the most phenomenal conversations, that it worked out well. I am going to at least thank everyone who tuned in, because it was one of these that was held the past Saturday that Matthew On was a part of, 248 episodes, 20 years in. I think this particular song features Mr. Powers, so why not put on some hip-hop workshop featuring Black House Sound? And it talks about the program that's been in play for 20 years.
Black House Sound B, man. It's the one for the hip-hop workshop. You know what I'm saying? Network style. Gotta pay homage to that. You know what I'm talking about?
It be the hip-hop workshop. It be the hip-hop workshop, yeah. We on that work. How we put them lyrics on the back, okay. We work. How it be the hip-hop workshop. It be the hip-hop workshop, yeah. We on that work. How we put them lyrics on the back,
and
we work. I'm on a different channel, and two we work. Got Motley spitting verses, and two we work. I'm out the music surface, look like no commercial show. Will they claim my group was so controversial? Show before my Taylor flow, dedicated to get the gold. Back 2005, off the court, was letting them know. Black on black crime, East Cleveland fest, we going down. The rock is in its prime. Hip hop workshop help you use your mind. On the day we grind, too many snakes to promote us. That's why I got it, said take heed to stop and taking over. Cleveland talent is cold. Intel opening up the doors. So Cleveland hip-hop awards. You think I learned about third boy? We don't support Cleveland artists in which you so concerned for. None of you wanna try it, this show we become a turn boy. Hip-hop workshop, it be the hip-hop workshop, yeah. We on that work, how we put them lyrics on the badge. We work, how it be the hip-hop workshop, it be the hip-hop workshop, yeah. We on that work, how we put them lyrics on the badge. We work, how.
BC Neighborhood, Ping Pong, and Chef House. That's where the hip-hop workshop started out. Design of a decade, 2004. We're legendary, historic, and much more. First hip-hop show at the EC Theater. The first hip-hop show at the Calling Post Building. Our photos made the plane dealer many times. Many Suave Gotti coming through just to drop a rhyme. Be real, poppin' wheelies. In his wheelchair, after we, brother Ted, they were there. Alex Moore and Maluka filmed the show. Remember Londie, Brandon, and Josh Soul. Red Dog, the brother dressed in all red. AUG and Beat Effect, the thoroughbred. It's time to go back into rhyme. Back to the future. Back into time. Truth Cap, Spade 216 was called Soldier. Nappy Head Fred was Fred G, but old up and old. Now he's Bald Head Fred. Remember Renaissance? Before Oprah, you became the Dollhouse. The governor of EC, who used to rock. Changed his name to Sean Niggy Knock. And paved the way for On Deck DNA. Almost forgot Big E and Solomon Kane. The Terror Flow from Chemical Ali. Big Buddha Star would sing R&B. Queen of Sue and Dove kept it Afrocentric. Bill Swain kept the revolution mentioned. Shout out to the creator, Mama Porter, Dollar Rock, Lady D, Art McCoy. You can be mean, but keep it clean.
It be the hip-hop workshop, it be the hip-hop workshop, yeah. We on that work, how we put them lyrics on the badge, we work. How it be the hip-hop workshop, it be the hip-hop workshop, yeah. We on that work, how we put them lyrics on the badge, we work out.
When I first started out, I simply tripped down Euclid and Ebro. That's when Dollar Rock was on the turntable, straight rocking the show. 5 years later, with Sherrod opened the door, I knew I felt blessed. That's when I got promotional inspiration from GMS. That beautiful voice from Miss Tammy always relieved my stress. Cause she let me know when it comes to life, it's a valuable test. When you got one to live, you try your best to achieve something for it. That's why I love colors of the rainbow from the solo poet. That motivate me to do my thing and just keep
phone flowing, whatever time from 10-08, man, just kept my mind going, from black on black to the OPN, man, that's love I'm showing, because they said it's on the movement, it's just currency growing, shouts out to Art McCoy, for keeping alive, 137 shots, that's why I stay such a freaking high side, from crooks get cops, hip-hop workshop, is the bread that I have you on a journey to fame, if you ain't about that, then listen to Ronnie B's Windows of Pain. It be the hip-hop workshop, it be the hip-hop workshop, yeah. We on that work out, we put the lyrics on the back, so we work out. It be the hip-hop workshop, it be the hip-hop workshop, yeah. We on that work out, we put them lyrics on the back, so we work out.
Ooh-wee. You know, I'm having a good time, you all. And I only have a couple more minutes on this particular program, and I'm glad. Why not let you all know the reason why I do this particular show? I think the phone callers let me know. It isn't for me. It's for you.
Dream life I chose. I breathe, the blood I bleed. I gave it all to you. Yo, I did it all for you. Yo, I do it all for you. Yo, but I don't wanna just give it up. I'm just tryna live, but I don't wanna just give it up. I'm just tryna live, but I don't wanna just give it up. I gave it all for you. I did it all for you. It's like soft glass, yo. Her younger, yeah, heart, yo. High memories of my past. That fast money, yeah, I gotta have. Say I'm a honey, but where you at, yo? Had a point like my life is over, yo. Late nights for them leftovers, yo. For every dollar, every penny. Like you my man, but you ride against me, yo. Up on my dirt, up on my lonely. Cause most of you ain't real, y'all phony. Ain't real, y'all phony. I gave it all to you, yo. I did it all for you, yo. I threw it all for you, yo. But I don't wanna just give it up. I'm just trying to. I'm just trying to live, but I don't want to just give it up. I gave it all to you. I did it all for you. I do it all for you. Yo. So this is what it comes to. Yo. Turn your back, I turn my back too. Yo. It's kind of funny how it ain't the same. Changing up for a little fame. Yo. But from the dirt, it was all me. Grinding hard till I'm 6 feet. Yo, will never see what I feel in me. Who loyal and who I see, yeah, it's all me. Yo, will never see what I feel in me. Who loyal and who I see, yeah, it's all me. Yo, 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 yo. I gave it all to you. I did it all for you. I threw it all to you. Yo. But I just don't wanna give it up. I'm just trying to live, but I just don't wanna give it up. I'm just trying to live, but I just don't wanna give it up. I gave it all to you. I did it all for you. I threw it all for you. Yo. We'll be right back.
and proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that hip-hop does deal with politics on a major side. I'm going to leave out with this one track. Might run my mouth before I leave out fully. But because he played such a pivotal role at the hip-hop workshop, from the written exam all the way through, Suave Gotti, tribute to one of our, actually two of our legendary DJs, one living, one deceased, the J.O. song.
Kenley told me to sing it like this. Check it. Let me welcome y'all to Cleveland. Well, we ain't got no South Central, but we do have a Cedar and we do have a Central. Through the pandemic, I kept my essentials. Cuban cigar and a trench coat. DNA level C. From A to Z. Come follow me now. Way back in the 83. 108 club style. Yo, man, don't erase that. Memorex, C-tron, hand on the tape deck. Still yelling Geronimo like I'm at a carnival. DJ Johnny O. Horton, the honorable. You ask how important. You gotta know the source of the crew. Like, look what you done forced me to do. And if you don't know the history of the city that you grew up in, well, little nigga, I'm talking to you. I'm the boss of the crew, and I'm an arsonist too. So I've got, yeah, I'm off in the booth. And Earl Holliman. Earl Holliman was so. Earl Holliman would throw out a funky beatbox, leaving no doubt. Mo hoes, mo clout, up in the hoes house. Off chagrin was a party spot, and all night it would body rock. All around the clock, to the dollar stop. Or someone living in Shaker called the cops. Beckman Hall was the spot off St. Clair. With Mo Hits and Hank Aaron, you cats just ain't hearing. Showing out my boy Mike McAdoo, we even got Casper C. About to act a fool up in the club with Wayne D. And DJ Shock and Mr. T. And Wild C and my man Chuck Fresh, Johnny O in 2021, Nerve DJ Success.
Who is the craziest DJs on earth?
DJ Johnny and my man Joe.
Who is the craziest DJs on earth?
And Morris Black, Josephine asked who met Joe, who came along, added the young, then they had a son, a young DJ named Joe, came creeping through the trenches, back when DJs had tables and 12 inches, he was getting lots of money at the Coliseum, but he never copped a BM or shopped at the Galleria, he was sick to his vans and trucks, as he ran amok, Boom Squad, yeah they banned it up, first Cotton Club, all through the city though, and every Saturday, he had it looking like a video, Kismet Square, it was a pimp affair, and free birthday party kept women in there. But
yeah, man, we gotta tell them about the babies, though. We gotta tell them about the babies, though. He had Rochelle, Joe, Javon, Miles, and Sherelle. He had Jaden and Jamia, and Ava and Javelia. Man, they made him a grandpa. Break out the champagne so I can toast to him. Do the damn thing. Internet, go post to him. We hate you had to leave so soon. Super shout out to my nigga Joe Poon.
Who is the craziest DJs on earth?
DJ Johnny and my man Joe Poon.
Who is the craziest DJs on earth?
They call me Cleveland legendary Joe Boone. I started DJing, I was probably like 14 when I did my first party at a strip club. Put me in the game. Then I just started paying attention to everybody else and I figured it out.
Then you got some 1200s.
Then I got some 1200s.
And then you felt like God right there.
When I got the 1200s, it was over.
Right.
I was coming at niggas next. I was looking at Johnny O like, what's up?
That particular song right there, that particular song was a tribute to deceased DJ Joe Boom, as well as the living great one himself, a.k.a. Grand Wizard DJ Johnny O. We thank everybody who tuned on. They tuned in tonight. They had something to say. We appreciate it. Hey, always use your voice when opportunities come. Don't be afraid to represent yourself and to ask questions that concern you and your community. I'm out. Much love. Catch you at different events. Hey, if I'm not out trying to serve my community, what am I doing? What am I actually doing? Oh, I know. Probably nothing. Peace.